over matter. Put your mind somewhere else and keep going. That little voice in your head is trying to stop you from getting to where you want to be. Be successful and keep moving forward.
With your host and world-renowned strength and conditioning coach, Phil DelRue.
Man, I hear
what's tonight.
Good things about you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Really. Same here. Same here. I'm excited. Also, definitely want to congratulate you.
Thanks,
this is crazy, man. It blew up in the past, like, what, year and a half?
Year and a half.
Right?
Yeah.
And it started in the pandemic almost, correct?
The crazy thing is, unless you want to wait to talk about this, the crazy shit.
The crazy thing is
international. Like, I mean, like, the guy in Russia that I'm cool with, we have 1 million live viewers at 5 a.m.
Wow.
5 a.m. He told me, he met me in Cancun, actually, because we're doing some things together. And he said, if you come to Russia, you need a bodyguard. You're a superstar.
I'm like, really? That's good to have, like, in Russia, yeah.
There, Amsterdam, Poland, like, it blew up, man. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. So this little thing that we worked on 10 years ago, now everybody all around the world is talking about it. It's crazy,
that's awesome,
man.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about, like, your start in combat sports. You've been around boxing all your life.
Yeah.
And what made you, well, let's start from the beginning. Let's start, you know, when you started, your dad was a boxer, correct?
Yeah, my dad was a professional middleweight.
Yeah.
He was 21-2 with 19 knockouts.
Wow.
It was good.
Okay.
He had a bad problem with his Achilles heel, so he had to stop boxing.
Yeah.
Became a trainer, trained 7 world champions. He's in the Boxing Hall of Fame.
Nice.
You know, just kind of forced into it, became a professional fighter myself. My brother became a professional fighter. My house was a training camp. My mother was injured really bad in an accident. She was a quadriplegic for my whole life. So it was just me, my dad, and the fighters, and my brother in the house, and it was
awesome.
Craziness.
How was that when you were young, watching these guys come in the house and just, like, train and everything else?
You know, it was cool. It was, like, it was weird. I lived in a really, like, in a nice kind of area, and there was a lot of different diversity, we'll say, came into my house.
Where are you from again?
Right outside of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, gotcha.
So a lot of diversity came into my house, and my neighborhood wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The police would, you know, come by all the time and pull them over when they're running and things like that, and my dad had to go talk to them, and it was kind of crazy. And then, like, a year later, they're all coming over getting autographs because they see him on NBC Sports and stuff. And, like, you know, how the tide turned,
tide
man.
Turns, yep.
Yeah, man, it was crazy, man. It was just, you know, 2 of the guys that live with me were on death row.
Wow.
Like, you know, I've been through everything in my life, man. I've seen
awesome,
everything.
Man.
And I think that's why, really why I can be, you know, or on my way to be successful, because I can deal with anybody in the world.
Well,
I
how do
deal
you,
with this guy, or I can deal with the CEO.
For sure.
Company,
I think
mean?
The best, because you're a promoter, but you connect with fighters in another way. I've been to a couple fights, and obviously I've cornered a couple guys. Watching how it's ran and watching how you take care of guys is definitely why people want to fight for you.
Right.
Where did you decide to go into, like, what was the time where you're like, all right, I want to do bare knuckle as opposed to boxing? Like, you've been
growing
up.
I was in boxing my whole life, and I just saw that, you know, a lot. There's what I call is people that are in boxing and then boxing people. And I don't really dig boxing people.
Explain a little bit more about that.
Boxing people are in it for, like, you know, they always have their hand out.
Sure.
And they're always trying to see how they can, you know, get over on you.
Sure.
And reach in your back pocket. That's what I call boxing people.
Yeah.
But people in boxing, I like them. You know, people that are in it for the right reason, the fighters, for instance. You know, some of the trainers are great. Some of the promoters are good, too. You know, promoters get a bad rap. At the end of the day, is they don't know what a promoter deals with. Nobody knows what a promoter deals with.
Yeah.
You know, it's death sometimes. But, you know, I like and then I got into mixed martial arts. So I started promoting mixed martial arts because boxing was kind of, like, getting a little stale. So I got into mixed martial arts. I was the first one to promote a mixed martial arts event in Pennsylvania. And then I got it.
What was that called?
XFE, Extreme Fight Events.
Okay.
Well, actually, at the beginning, we called it Cage Wars. It was XFE Presents Cage Wars.
Gotcha.
So we started out Cage Wars. We did, like, 50 events.
Nice.
Super successful. Did them all over the East Coast.
That's
opened
awesome.
Up a lot of casinos. So it was really, really cool for us. I got a lot of relationships for a lot of different things that I did there. And, you know, it was really cool. But along the way, when I was kind of that transition from boxing to mixed martial arts is when I met this one fighter, and his name is Bobby Gunn. So he fought for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
He's a Irish traveler.
Okay.
So he kind of introduced me to bare knuckle by telling me about how they would do these bare knuckle fights with families. Like the families, if they had problems, they would fight bare knuckle to solve the family dispute.
Is this the London Prize rules, or is this is?
No, this is actually just in backyard bare knuckle fighting. So I started digging into it, and I'm like, man, I think people would want to see this. And so I went to him, and he always said pal all the time. Like, hey pal, hey pal, hey pal. And I'm like, I'm gonna do a bare knuckle fight. He's like, you'll never get that done, pal. I'm like, that's all I needed to hear. 3 months later, we're doing an event, August 5th, 2011, at Fort McDowell Casino on Indian Reservation in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Like, crazy, crazy event. Packed. Yeah. All amateur mixed martial arts on the undercard, one bare knuckle fight. 5,500 people there, mm-hmm. and 700,000 people logged into this service called Ustream to watch it, mm-hmm. but it crashed because there were so many. They weren't ready for that traffic, so I was what just happened here? All these people. Yeah. So it was actually the best mistake that ever happened in my life, because I'm like, wow, this is crazy. All these people wanted to dig in, mm-hmm. and they were interested in this. So let me see if I can go get this thing sanctioned. Yeah. Just rewind a minute. Day before that event, Senator John McCain called the Indian Reservation and said, it was Fort McDowell Indian Reservation, and said, you can't do this. You have to stop it. And they were like, okay, buddy. Yeah. We're on sovereign land. You're not telling us what to do. And we went forward with it, and it worked good. Mm-hmm. So I went out for, you know, the next 7 years, 28 states, trying to get this thing legal. They all said no until I met this guy named Brian Patterson from Wyoming.
Yeah.
And he's like, I love it, man. Let's do it. So we did it.
So when you said that, I know the story a little bit, where you were like talking about, you know, with bare knuckle, there's less overall injuries, there's less concussions, all that. There may be more lacerations, obviously.
Sure,
but
sure.
Other than that, how'd you explain it to them? Because I know there was a story behind it, right?
Yeah, you're like, but it's so hard. Right, I get in there. But it's so hard, because imagine being a regulator, and I come into you, and perception-wise, I go, can you regulate bare knuckle boxing? It's safer. Mm-hmm. And you're going to look at me like I got three heads. Like, how the hell is this safer? It can't be safer.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would tell the guy, I would just say, come on over here to the wall. And I would say, punch the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he would just like punch the wall, like not real hard with his bare fist. And he's like, you know, he would go like that. I'd say, here, put the glove on, punch the wall. He would be like that. I would say, that's the difference. You understand? Yeah. They're not going to punch as hard with their bare knuckle. Mm-hmm. It's just natural. Out of fear of injuring their hand or hitting the dome, as someone said, mm-hmm. they're not going to punch that hard. So I finally got it clear to him. And now the amazing thing is, we have on our staff, our chief medical consultant is Dr. Don Muzzi. Yep. He's the number one fight doctor in the entire country. Mm-hmm. He has compiled data from our first event all the way up until now. Mm-hmm. And now statistically, I can go to him and say, look, I was right. We have less injuries than boxing or mixed martial arts. We have less head trauma, less facial fractures. Mm-hmm. But the thing that people don't are always like, how do you have that? We have less hand breaks as well.
Really?
Yeah. And that's, I think it's because people are starting to learn it now and seeing where to punch.
Yeah,
and they're closing their fists. The big thing is, at the beginning, when, you know, in boxing, sometimes they flick a jab like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it here.
Yeah.
Crack your hand.
It is harder if you're looking at it, like the play shots too, as well. You have to be precise. That was one thing with working with like Jake and even Hector too, as well. Like, is I can see you have to make sure you're placing your shots in the right ways. Otherwise, you are going to break something or hurt something there.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know? So, I was just saying, they call, you know, boxing's the sweet science. I call this the sweetest science, because you have to really know, mm-hmm. you know, what you're doing and where you're going with it.
It's purest form, in a sense, right?
So I think so.
It's awesome though, but like, I'm going to be honest, right? You're here. I didn't think it was going to last this long.
Nobody did.
Right? But now, knowing, one, they have you to back it, and I'm not gassing you up, because I think you have promoted it in such the best way possible, and you have your other, you know, promotions and stuff like that, but I think for you, you've been able to supersede all those other promotions. And I think it's because of the way you are. Now, how do you get to connect with those individuals like you do? Is there like a strategy,
You know, it's really my upbringing, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've been through everything in life, man. Like, mm-hmm. my mom is really my inspiration. My mom was a quadriplegic. Mm-hmm. She was in the wheelchair Olympics. She painted pictures with her mouth. Like, everything that, like, anyone could say, you can't do this, you can't do this. She's like, okay, I'll do this. Graduated with a master's degree in college while paralyzed. She did everything that everybody said you can't do, and there's no way you can do this. She did it. So when someone, like, says no to me or mm-hmm. this is never going to work, I'm like, you know, I love, like, if people hate no, I love it. Because when they say no to me, I'm like, okay, let me step it up a notch and find out how to make it work. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of how it did. You know, I think it's all in the way I grew up. I was just, you know, I was told all the time I wasn't going to be, you know, I wasn't going to do anything in life. I wasn't going to be able to make anything out of myself in life. I was going to be this, I was going to be that during my upbringing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the fuel, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all need to have that. But your upbringing definitely allows you to understand it from a physical level, right? You've seen your mom, you watch your dad, and for anybody of that nature that had grown up in that particular environment allows themselves to get over those humps, right? Yeah. And you've gone over obstacle, you know, now as far as where it's at, where do you see it going, like 3-5 years from now?
Well, you know, I do have to say, like, I was the only person, and I have a core team of 4 or 5 guys that were, like, there for me through thick and thin, mm-hmm. worked for free, didn't care about getting paid, and said they saw it with me, mm-hmm. but no one really saw it. I always saw it because we had some valleys, and people were like, you know, even my team, they're like, how are we going to do this? I'm like, relax. We're going to make it work, and we just dig in and dive down and make it work. So we got to a place where nobody thought we would be, right? I mean, we are talked about in every combat sports conversation in the world now, bare knuckle fighting, right? It's crazy. Like, it's really crazy where it went. Yeah. I actually had this talk yesterday with, so I can't announce who did it, but we just sold 76% of our company to a bigger company that we're going to merge with, and I think
congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's life changing, game changing for us. But
that was the news. Was that the news? Yeah.
To answer your question.
There you go.
That's going to help us get. You know, I think we can be number 2 or number 3 in combat sports in the next 3 years.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
You do have, like, you're able to bring these high-level guys into the sport, you know, that's been in mixed martial arts and boxing. How do you do that? Like, we got Chad Mendes fighting on this card coming up, right?
Yeah.
And you have other ex-UFC guys that come over. How is that possible in some ways? Because, obviously, they've been at the biggest level of their sport, now bringing it over to another sport. You know, obviously they're getting taken care of and you're helping them out, but how do you bring them over and say, okay, this is what you're going to be doing?
So, you know, it's like 3 or 4-fold, man. There's like 3 or 4 things with it. The main thing is a lot of these guys that have been training mixed martial arts for a long time, not the boxers, but the mixed martial artists, mm-hmm. it's a lot on your whole body.
This
changes up their training where it's just their hands, so they're not really messing with their knees, their lower back, and things like that they get injured a lot. They're just hanging with their hands. Mm-hmm. There's 150,000 boxers in the world. There's 150,000 mixed martial artists in the world. There's about 400 or 500.
Is there really 150,000?
Yeah.
Both?
Professional. Boxing? Professional, yeah.
Wow.
There's about 300 to 400 bare knuckle fighters in the world.
300 to 400?
That's about it right now that are, you know, now it's growing. So let's say there's 600 or 700.
Okay.
Let's say there's 1,000.
Yeah.
Where do you have a chance of sticking out more? Mm-hmm. Right here.
Of course, yeah.
So now, the other thing is, when I bring guys over from the bigger organizations in mixed martial arts, we allow them to get sponsorships.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an extreme form of revenue. Like Chad Mendes, for instance, he doubled his purse in sponsorships. So, or more than doubled his purse in sponsorships. So that's that. The other thing is, man, we just treat these guys. They like where we're going. We treat them right, man. We're the first combat sport promotion in the world mm-hmm. to start a fighter pension plan. No one ever did that. It takes money out of your pocket, but you know what? Yeah. At the end of the day, is everything we're doing is just luring guys our way. So it's not just, I'm not just saying we just want to give it all away.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you give a little bit away, they want to come to you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not greedy. You know, we're the kind of company that wants to grow mm-hmm. and grow and grow. And we can give a lot of it away as long as we have a little bit there left for us. And we can continue to grow this thing because I believe in 3 to 5 years, when it's time to exit and we can all go relax, it'll be a $1 billion exit. I really, truly believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, we don't need to take it. We can worry about it later.
Mm-hmm. When you're bringing in these people, like getting these deals done, what is the major selling point for them?
It's just, you know, some of these
obviously
guys.
Obviously the numbers.
Well, the money. I mean, look, but so people go, well, they didn't make that in the UFC or they didn't make that in this organization. They're not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen. Just because, like Paige VanZant, for instance, she got paid $45,000 to fight and $45,000 to win in the UFC.
Yep.
We paid her significantly more than that.
Sure.
And everybody said I was making a mistake. It was the first event. It was our most expensive event we've ever did when she fought. And it was our first event that we broke, that we actually made money on.
Mm-hmm.
So certain, where I'm going with this is certain people might not be valuable to this organization, but to this organization, a good-looking woman with all the following, like Paige VanZant fighting bare knuckle, gets everybody to go, wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap, she's fighting bare knuckle.
It's going to bring the audience.
It brings the eyeballs, and it did. So certain people mean more to me than they mean to someone else, so I can pay them a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. When you got guys like that, and you do have some good guys that actually started with you, too, and they're coming up.
Sure.
You know, I like Yuli. I think Yuli's like superstar in the making. You know, I think with Jake, he has that it factor. You know, he's very charismatic. But you got a lot of guys and girls, and the girls actually put in more work sometimes than the guys.
Yeah,
I'm watching a lot of the fights, man. So when you watch a fight and you're looking at it like, okay, are you looking for that one punch knockout, or are you looking at it like, I wish this thing goes all
just action? That's what I demand. I go in the back before the fight, put out money, and I go, I got money for you guys. Mm-hmm. And we stand in the center of that ring and bang it out and give the fans what they want, because it's all about the fans. Mm-hmm. I got some bad ass men and women in this sport, and I want
to
make sure I'm taken care of. No, absolutely, but I take care of them. So, although I pay this guy a lot of money, a lot of these guys understand that they have a big following. People want to talk about them. So they deserve to get paid more now. But what it does, it trickles down, because then more people are watching this sport. And while this person's the main event, I'm building up this person on the undercard. Yeah. And then when that person can take a couple steps up, they're going to get paid significantly more.
Sure.
And that's the plan. And that's really what we're trying to do here. Look,
it's like a tier system.
We're taking care of these guys, as girls as good as possible. But the girls, it's unbelievable. We have two great women's fight on this card.
How many girls do you have on, like, in the
program? We have 16 girls under contract right now, but we're trying to really pump that up
now. And, like, three of them were ex-UFC?
Probably
something
more.
Like
that.
Yeah.
Probably more
than that?
Yeah.
Wow. So we got a fight this weekend, right? Saturday. Like I said, Chad Mendes fighting on the card. Who we had? Luis Palomino. Yeah. Listen, Baboon is like a Florida MMA legend, by the way.
Yep.
And so I obviously fought before. I remember watching him when I was younger. Same thing with Hector, which is crazy. But seeing them like almost resurrect their career in a sense, you know, definitely Baboon, 100%.
Sure.
You know, he's made it right there to the top, and then like he had, you know, one or two mishaps and kind of fell back down. Right. Now he's a champion. And he's looking really good. What do you see for those types of individuals? Not just Baboon, but like, you know, all the guys that are coming from that background of MMA.
Well, every fight he's stepping up in pay, so he's happy with everything that we're doing with him. He's getting good sponsorship. Mm-hmm. He's making, I don't know, probably three times more than he ever made in his life in MMA for his first fight he fought with us. They just, you know, it's different. But like a guy like Baboon who might not have been great, you know, jiu-jitsu or ground fighting. His stand-up is his game. This is right up his alley. That's why he can resurrect his career, because I think he was in a lot of really good fights with the top guys. Mm-hmm. But when he went down on the ground, you know, it was a problem for him. Yeah. And now he gets to stand up and bang with these guys. You know, it's a good situation for him. But this card Saturday night, you know, we have Mike Perry came out of the UFC, didn't get cut, just let his contract run out, and we were able to pick him up. He's fighting Julian Lane, who, as you know, fought Jake and fights anyone we ever ask him to fight and always comes to fight, not only inside the ring, but also outside the ring.
I saw that, yeah.
Then we got Chad Mendes fighting local Miami kid Fames, Joshua Alvarez Fames, who looked sensational in his first fight, got cocky like a lot of guys do, didn't train as hard, and, you know, got beat up pretty good in his last fight.
Yeah.
And now is training really, really hard, really focused. It's an opportunity for this guy to change his entire life. Mm-hmm. If he beats Chad Mendes, his life has changed forever.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And then we have Luis Palomino versus Martin Brown. Martin Brown, who we didn't talk about in his last fight, like, he just ate punches, like, swallowed them like they were nothing. And he delivered sensationally. He looked really good. And then we have a women's championship fight, our first ever women's championship fight that we're doing. It is Christine Ferreira versus Britton Hart, two girls that have gave a lot to bare-knuckle fighting championship, a lot to this sport, and they deserve to fight for this championship. And they're going to be featured here on Saturday night. And the undercard is stacked. The best card we've ever put together at BKFC. It's called Knucklemania. So this is Knucklemania 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sensational event at the Hard Rock Hard Rock Casino here in Hollywood.
If you guys, make sure you guys check that out Saturday night. We're going to put this out on Saturday morning.
Oh, good.
So they'll be able to watch
That's great.
Another thing is, why did you, because it seems like now you're in Miami a lot of time. Like, so now you've moved out here, right? Is that correct?
I didn't.
You didn't move out here? No. So where are you staying at still?
I'm in Philly.
Still?
Just
you come down here a lot, though.
You know, we're going to open up an office down here for sure. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of big plans down here. But, I mean, look.
You need a strength and conditioning gym? Just asking.
We definitely have a conversation coming up because we already talked earlier. Yeah. And this is exactly the kind of facility I would love.
Yeah.
Love to talk to you about that. Perfect. Absolutely. You know, Governor DeSantis, he's a forward-thinking governor, and he opened up. This is where we did a lot of our fights during the pandemic, and it was great, and we built a great fan base. So now, look, we are on pace right now for Saturday night to have the highest grossing combat sport event ever at the Hard Rock Casino. That's all the top major organizations fought at the Hard Rock Casino, and we are going to have the highest gross ever.
Man, that's amazing.
3 years.
Did you think it was going to be this big, this quick, or no?
Not this quick. Yeah. I always had a vision. Yeah. We were going to compete, you know, 8-10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people just caught on to it, built a good team, really made people believe in this thing by putting it out there. I told everybody we were the fastest growing sport in the world three fights in. Mm-hmm. We weren't.
Yeah.
Now we are.
Yeah.
We're the fastest growing combat sport promotion in the world, and the sport, it's growing everywhere. It's all over the world. I mean, they're doing bare knuckle events now in probably 30, 40 different countries right now, which is amazing. Like, we started this thing in garages in my hometown, right? And now they're doing it in 40 different countries, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Where do you see, like, are you going to do anything outside the country other than, you know, what you've done already?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you think about, like, what's the, I guess you say, the most aspiring one that you want to go to, whether it's Singapore, like I'm thinking like Japan.
I think the Japanese people over there will love eat it. This up. They love combat sports.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to go to Japan. I really want to go to China too. Mm-hmm. I think they would love it as well. Mm-hmm. We did Thailand already.
Yeah.
We're doing Russia in May. We're doing the UK will be our first fight in July.
Okay.
In the UK, and then we're doing Amsterdam in September.
Yeah.
So we'll probably be a total of 7 or 8 different countries this year in 2020.
This year,
yeah,
nice.
In 2022.
Wow.
36 total events. You know, did 3 events the first year, 36 events this year.
Wow, man. How was your strategy for like marketing this thing? I know you have a marketing team probably, but
we didn't know. I'm not gonna sit here and BS, man.
I love that.
We.
It's organic.
We're gonna say it.
It's organic.
An entrepreneur, he builds a parachute on the way down.
Yeah,
That's what we did. We just figured it out as we went, man.
Mm-hmm.
We were driving and we figured out, okay, let's add this to the car. Let's add that to the car, and here we are.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I definitely want to thank you for your time. This is awesome. Anything else you want to say?
No, man. Just tune in. If you're watching this on Saturday morning, tune in tonight. Bare Knuckle TV. It's at bkfc.com. You can get a few remaining tickets left at the Hard Rock Casino if we have any by then. Hopefully we don't, but we may have a few left by then. bkfc.com. Check it out. The fastest growing, most fast-paced, most exciting combat sport on the planet.
Thanks again, brother. I appreciate it.
Take care, Phil. All right. Take care, buddy.